So hello and welcome everybody to the Apps on Your Hands session. Thank you for joining us. We are starting the wearable track today. So this is the session for the wearable app development. This is Konrad. I'm Piotr from Samsung Electronics. We are working for the team that makes the framework part inside the gear. So this is the plan for today. We'll start with a little bit platform overview, some data sources and data outputs. Then we will go through the access levels with groups of features. The next point would be the example of a camera usage and how it looks like from the HTML5 point of view and then from the Dyson point of view. Then I will briefly explain what is this SAP protocol and what services are available there. So the next point would are the tools. Here we're just planning to explain a few things about the new SDK and what tools are available for developers there. The next part will be the part taken by Konrad. So he will explain what is the TAU framework and about the features that come into the next version. So the platform allows us to create three types of applications. The first type would be the linked type application, which is often called the master follower. This type is basically two apps that the first app is installed on the host device, in our case on the Tizen or Android phone, and the second one is the apps is the app installed on the gear, but the gear app is optional. So the installation of the first app doesn't cause the installation of the gear app. This must be done manually. The second type would be the integrated type, which is installing the gear application right away after installing the host. So the third type is the standalone type, which we will describe more here. And this is the type of application that doesn't need the host to work. For example, this could be a clock app, the clock face app, or any calculator or other stuff. Okay, so what is the platform? The platform is, in general, a web runtime. So it's based on WebKit. And every application that is that should be done for the platform is coded with some HTML5, CSS, JavaScript. And we are keeping the standards. We are using most of the features from the HTML5 and from the W3C. But not always it's possible. For example, when we are talking about the camera, in the case of Gear, it has more features than the usual camera, for example, from a laptop. So it takes autofocus. We can check it. And I will go in an example in the next slides. So we can divide the platform into two types of data, the data sources and the data outputs. Those are controlled with some privilege levels and accessible through HTML5 or the device API. And the data sources are the sensors too. So we have the accelerometer, gyroscope, heart rate sensor, and a microphone. The normal version of the gear has a 2.0 megapixel camera. And the data outputs would be the display, infrared transmitter, a speaker, and a vibration maybe. So those features are available through the JavaScript only. So without any need to do some native stuff. So the access levels divide the platform, divide the features of the platform into three categories. The first would be the public level, which holds most of the APIs. As you can see, in this level, we have three categories of APIs. The biggest part is the device API, which holds the APIs for the infrared, motion, some power system infos, and so on. The second part would be the media and storage. As I told before, the camera has also some supplementary API to make use, for example, of the autofocus feature. So the next level would be the partner level, which is basically all of the public features and also the whole application management. And the last one is the biggest part, so it's the platform package management. So all in this level, you get the access to the whole platform and to every feature. So in the next slide, I will show you how to make use of the built-in camera. So the first thing that if you are planning to make a preview in our application, so the first thing we need to use a video element. We are just setting an ID to make it more convenient to get it to get one inside our code, and to get the preview, we are just accessing the navigator object, and then with a get user media, we're just asking the runtime to give us the output from the camera. We are passing two parameters, which the first one is the video and the second is the audio. So in this case, we don't need the audio. And the second and the third parameter are the callbacks, because the user may not accept our requests. So when he accepts it, we've got a stream as a attribute of the function, and then we can just make an object URL from it, and then add it to the video as a source, and just play the video. So that whole code allows us to make an easy preview. But when we want to make a photo, there are some additional things to care. So we are making use of the stream as well. This part doesn't change. But now we need to register the stream to the camera control Tizen object. So the first part is the media stream, which is in the first parameter. And then we are just saving the control. And the next would be taking the photo. So if we want to make use of the autofocus, we'll just set a timeout or other deferred callback, to then shut the photo. So in the after focus method, we are just using the camera control image just to apply the settings, because we probably want to make a square photo or an HD photo, and choose the right picture size. And definitely, we want to make sure that we are saving the file in the right in the picture in the right file. So after those things, after the applying settings, we are just taking the picture. So it's very easy to use the camera API. Supplementary camera API. So the next part would be the SAP protocol. This is for the connected applications. So to communicate with the physical, with a phone, we use the Samsung accessory protocol, which underneath uses Bluetooth, low energy, and we are some services available inside of it. And so we can access the alarms set on the phone, calendar, some contact service, transfer some files, and control the music, notification, and so on. When you are making the code, you need first to pair those devices to find the peers on the phone and on the wearable, and then you negotiate the privileges to use the services provided here. And the next, I will briefly explain the SDK tools for wearable. So the new SDK will have two profiles built in. The first profile is designing for a mobile device. And the second one is for the wearable. So the SDK in itself contains the Eclipse-based IDE, which is quite familiar from the family of Tizen SDKs. And the change from the previous version is that now we are having the access to make the possibility to make both types of emulator devices inside, and we have the whole documentation in one place. We can make the application, the integrated applications, and the integrated applications inside one IDE. And for example, the device emulator for the wearable has a sensor simulator and some shell access. How many of you are familiar with the SDK that is currently on our website? Okay. So this emulator is based on an Intel virtualization machine. So it's doing pretty well on the Linux and on Windows platform. And it's a very convenient way to test the applications without the need to install certificates. Or for example, when we want to test some battery drops, we can just set it as an event inside the event simulator. So the next part would be the command line tools, which are basically SDB tool. So we can install applications, launch them right away from the command line tool. So this stuff helps us to make some automatic when we are making very intensive development, and we can make it use in our build servers or so on. So the SDK contains a very powerful example, and they include almost every device API. Then show the device API in real use cases. So they are available in the IDE, and of course we are having the documentations and the guidelines. So the next part is the part taken by Konrad. Konrad, please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I will speak a few words about Tizen Advanced UI Framework, so TAU. But first of all, I would like to ask you for a favor, because when I go to conference, my wife says that you're going to party all the time. No, I'm going to work. No, you're going to party. So I would like to take a photo with you, selfie or something, to have a proof that I was really working really, really hard, because the audience is quite big. So if you don't want to be on this picture, please hide yourself, and the rest, smile and look interested, right? Okay? No. Do not bump my picture. I'm working. Okay. Thank you. You're very helpful. Okay, so to the subject. Every framework is for the purpose, right? Many times you write your own framework because the whole framework that you are familiar with do not suit your needs. The Tau framework was created to suit two needs. First of all, application start time, optimize it. And the second is that we have many profiles on Tizen platform. And for mobile, for example, we had Web UI framework that is very different from Tau for wearable. The Tau for wearable is in 2.3 alpha SDK that you can see. But it will be slightly changed in a final release. I will tell about what will be in a final release. So we are working on web apps, right? We all know web pages. You open the browser, type an URL, wait a few seconds to browser load some images and some parts of your application that shows on your screen. And it's normal. But on mobile devices, wearable devices, it's very different. Because when you see the icon, you click the icon, and you will not wait 3 seconds for application to show up. You will consider, I don't want to use such platform. And I have to wait 3 seconds for application to say, hello, I am loading, right? Because the framework is slow, everything is slow. You already, possibly you are attending the sessions about optimization of HTML applications. The whole stuff is very good, is very helpful, but still it affects mostly the runtime. You can optimize, most of the frameworks optimize the runtime, not the start time. And why Tau? Why the name Tau? Because for wearable, we built a very small framework, very fast framework, and we consider it this is a good start to grow, right? It's small, it's not as big as Web UI framework was. And I'll okay, how we address the needs. The start time. We split application launch into two parts. The first part is related to DOM operations. So the widgets first build the structure. The simple widgets add only classes, but the more complicated widgets add additional HTML nodes, and this is very intensive for a browser. The second part of application launch is only events binding, right, registering your callbacks and application logic. The second need, that we want to have one common framework on many profiles, because we don't want you to learn for all profiles different frameworks. We want to have one framework with a widgets sharing the same API across the Tizen platforms. And we also have a compatibility layer with APIs that you are used to, because possibly you did some web applications using our frameworks. We don't want to lose that. So we have an additional compatibility layer. You can use it if you want to port your old application fast. If you want to start new application, it's better to use new APIs. Okay, so about tau evolution, right? The optimization. First, we use only vanilla JS, so it's pure JavaScript. No additional things that are inside. The second, we are since on Tizen we do have WebKit browser. We use WebKit potential. Everything that is can be done faster than on other browsers, we do for WebKit, right? And launch time optimization, I will say more about this later. The structure, widget construction is into two phases, as I said before. The framework has one core, so one engine that runs widgets. And the framework can be extended. There are specific parts of framework for specific profiles. For example, on, I don't know, mobile or TV, you have some fancy transitions between pages. It looks good on a TV or mobile, but it will not look good on a wearable device. So for wearable, it's a lot simpler. Right, and backward compatibility, as I said before, to support deprecated APIs. You don't need to include this, so the framework will be smaller, it will load faster. Okay, this is a simple slide, how the framework works. Well, you have, first of all, the engine starts. It seeks for widgets, and then widget structure is built. Then widget, all the dynamic stuff is done, so events are, event handlers are registered, and so on and so on. And then we pass flow to application. This is simple, right? Okay, so what's the deal about application building? This is, again, very high level. In SDK, you create your code, test the stuff, and so on. And finally, you create a package with your application. It's a widget file. You put it, you install it on the device. Then when the user runs it, the browser loads HTML file, again, builds widget structure, bind events, and all stuff, and it goes to application logic. This is simple, right? But when we were trying to optimize the framework, we noticed that in most applications, every time you start your application, it looks the same, right? It shows some kind of main menu or something. Every time you start the application, it looks the same. So why always dynamically build widgets? So we, using our new architecture, the capability to split building a structure of widgets and all dynamic stuff related to widgets, we put building widget structure into SDK. And now, before you package your application, SDK in fact runs your application in PhantomJS, so the headless WebKit. Your application builds, so every single widget builds its structure as it would be in the final browser on user side. The whole application structure, when it is ready, it replaces your code, and then it is packaged. So the package with your application contains the whole application look. It's ready. The browser, the engine, when it loads HTML file, it's already done. It's already complete. The widgets, the framework does not need to create any modifications in DOM structure because it's already there. It only gathers information. I have some widgets. I need to bind some events. And that's all. All DOM intensive operations are already done in SDK. Right? So you have this is example. You have a very simple application. One widget, the second content with list view with few buttons. Okay? This is simple. And after building, you get all the nasty stuff here. It doesn't look good, but it's how it looks in a browser when the engine completes its work. So all nodes are here, all classes are here, all stuff is here. Only thing that engine needs is to find the widgets and apply some events. This is quite fast. So let's take a look on Profiler, right? This is an old way. You see there are some widgets here, some widgets here, some widgets here, and so on. The events are also scattered around. And after the building, you see that all the page look is already in one place. So the application is loaded rapidly. You click, and you have the application. The framework loads because it needs to do dynamic stuff, so binding, event binding, and so on and so on. But the application is already there. In fact, if you remove all JavaScript files and you leave only HTML file, when you load it, the application will look like a final product. You don't need a JavaScript to look good in this framework, in Tao framework. So this gave a very big advantage. Of course, on wearable, you have simple widgets. The gain will not be as big as on mobile or possibly on TV, because there you have complicated widgets with a complicated structure. Many nodes need to be added to have good-looking application. So in mobile, or in general, in complicated applications, the more widgets you have, it will perform better. Right? The advantage will be really, really significant. For some applications, we even got four times faster start time. Right? So it's significant. This is an example of a pop-up widget. There's header and footer. And this is the how it looks after building, right? You can notice three additional elements. These are containers with some stuff. And the browser or the user side does not need to insert this thing. It's already there, already in your packaged application. OK, so this is almost done. You can, this framework, as I said, this framework is pure JavaScript, so you can use its power if you want to. There's only few rules to be considered, right? Use the build phase. It will give you real advantage, right? Use it. It's for you to make your applications start smoothly. Right. Second, you can extend widgets. The framework is very modular, so you can create your own modules. You can replace almost all functionalities that are inside the framework. You can extend widgets and page transitions, routers, and so on and so on, and whole stuff that is inside. And yeah. Using Tao APIs, you can use widgets that are responsive. So we can create using a responsive layout. You can create one application for many screens. Right? You can see it's not in Tao framework, but you can see the example of responsive application. Downstairs in a tech showcase on the TVs, on wearable, and on the mobile. This is well powerful, right? So okay, this is all from us. If you have any questions, please ask. We will try to answer. Yeah.
Python 3.0, they start using the leak.
Yeah.
but you're using WebKit. Where is the host of everything?
Well, we are using ECMAScript, JavaScript. So engine change should not change anything. If Blink will give us some advantages, that maybe something will be faster in Blink, it's simple change to update framework. But it's still the same JavaScript, right? The standard JavaScript. That is, you possibly saw the on many presentations, on the keynotes also, there was a screen that our WebKit is had the highest score of compatibility with the standard, W3C standard. So it's not a problem.
Do you guys have a connection or communication between Samsung department that you know that they're working on Blink?
Yeah.
So the thing is that here we are showing how it's done in the current version. So the next version will be probably dropping all the prefixes of the methods that were inside of the examples before. So you don't need to remember those, but you need to remember that we are keeping the standards. So rather than using WebKit get user media, we should just put get user media when we are trying to make an app that works across all versions or is designed for the new version. So I think the Blink would be not is not a problem in the future, in the next. So the level of the privileges is the public level. So when you are having a certificate, you can access those simply. And the whole list of privileges and how they are described is inside the wizard, inside the config XML file. So when you are using Eclipse, it will help to find the right one. And they are described in the help as well. So this is the public level, so everybody can access it. Yeah, the hard data is a sensitive subject right now because of the laws in different countries. I think it's now on the partner level. This may be changed, but because of the laws in different countries, we now set it to the partner level. So the integrated apps and mobile with gear development will be a subject for the DevLab. So my friend Camille is working on it. So I think he will explain it more. We are rather telling about the standalone versions. So I'm not sure about every aspect of it, but I know that's the application. The widget file for the gear is inside the resources of the host application. And after it installs, it should send the widget file to the gear and then install it. But I'm not a specialist in this subject, so if you could go to the DevLab, I think Camille will explain it more.
Okay, so if you have a question, please come here to us. For all, we thank you for attending our session. Have a good day.